Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Lord, we love you and thank you. God, I thank you for your word. I ask God to just touch and speak to each one here today. Anoint your servant to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you today. God's will, what is it and how do you know it? God's will, what is it and how do you know it? The aim of this passage of scripture in Romans 12 is that all of life would become, hear me, spiritual worship. Now, listen to that again. The aim of this scripture is that all of life, not just your church-going life, okay? Not just, you know, your prayer time in the morning, but all of your life would become spiritual worship. And the way that we're going to do that, folks, is by a new way of thinking. See, scripture in verse 1 says, present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And it says, which is spiritual worship. That's spiritual worship. It's one thing to get up and praise God and maybe dance a little bit and clap your hands and all. But he's saying, look, I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That body that is holy, that body that is acceptable unto God. The way we carry ourselves, the way we live our bodies, is it acceptable to God? The aim of all human life in God's eyes is that Christ would be made to look as valuable as He is. How are people going to know about God unless they see it through us? Amen? And we have to show people that God is valuable. Worship means using our minds. Worship means using our hearts. Worship means using our bodies to express the worth of God and all He is. There is a way to live, a way to love that does that. Okay? There is a way to do your job and that expresses the true value of God. You know, you can't be a great witness on the job if you go in there and give your boss a hard time all the time. You can't be a great witness on the job if you don't like to show up to work or you're always late. You know, and you want to tell people how great God is and they hear you yelling and screaming at the boss. Come on. You're getting quiet on me. Am I hitting home somewhere? You understand, folks, we are kind of like salesmen. People aren't going to want what we say is important to us if we don't show them things, if we don't present our bodies, if we don't present everything about us the way that makes God look good. If you can't find it, the way to express God, that may mean you should... Maybe, in your job, if you can't find a way to express and show God in your job, maybe you should change jobs. Come on. Or it might mean, like verse 2, it is not happening to the degree that it should. So in verse 2, Paul answers how we should turn all of life into worship. Paul tells us how we do that. He says, we must be transformed. We must be transformed, not just our external behavior, but the way we feel, the way we think in our minds. Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So, We have to become what we are. Those who believe in Jesus Christ all are already blood-bought new creatures in Christ. Folks, don't ever forget that you're blood-bought. If you've been saved, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you have been blood-bought. You are not your own. So don't bellyache to God. Say, God, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Because you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But now we must become what we are. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Get rid of the old yeast that ye may be a new batch without yeast as ye really are. You don't want to use old stuff when you're cooking, right? Stuff that you scrape the mold off and then throw it back in the frying pan. No, God doesn't want that either. Get rid of the old stuff. That you may be a new batch of what you really, really are. Brother Alejandro, I'm leaving the lid off on this thing. Don't forget the stands in my car after service. We got a stand here, folks. I don't have to spill my bottle. Worship means using our minds. Worship means using our hearts and our bodies to express the worth of God and all that He is for us in Jesus Christ. Amen? Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. You have been made new, folks, in Christ. And now you are being renewed day by day. Day by day. You need to be growing every day. Amen? You can't get there and say, I've obtained all I can, and I'll just cruise on into heaven. No, you can't do that. Every day. Now we focus on the last verse. Verse 2 says, namely, the aim of the renewed mind. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed. Listen to me. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, here comes the aim, okay? Here's the aim. Listen to me. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our focus today is on the meaning of the term will of God and how that we discern it. Folks, there's two wills of God, okay? Two wills of God. There are two clear and very different meanings from the term will of God in the Bible. We need to know them. And we need to decide which one is being used here in Romans 12:2. And in fact, knowing the difference between these two meanings of the will of God, God is crucial, folks, to understanding one of the biggest and most perplexing things in the Bible, namely that God is sovereign over all things and yet disapproves of many things. Which means that God disapproves of some of what He ordains to happen. Listen to me today. I'm telling you that God disapproves of some of the things that He ordained to happen. Now this is, folks, He forbids some of the things that He brings about. And He commands some of the things that He hinders. And strangely enough, God wills some events in one sense that He does not will in other senses. So God's will of degree or His sovereign will. So let's look at this, at the passages of Scripture that makes us think this way. We have to consider passages that describe the will of God as His sovereign control of all that comes to pass. And one of the clearest ways that Jesus spoke of the will of God was in Gethsemane when He was praying. He said in Matthew 26, verse 39, going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it were possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." So what does the will of God refer to in this verse? It refers to the sovereign plan of God that will happen in the coming hours. It was God planned it long ago. Okay, that's the will of God. But remember, folks, in Acts 4, verse 27 to 29 says, "For truly in this city there is gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur." What's that scripture saying? We know that God planned on Calvary from the beginning. Amen? And we know that God planned on using Herod and Pontius Pilate. Was God pleased with what they did? No. But it was His will nonetheless. You see what I'm saying? So the will of God was that Jesus die. Jesus in the garden say, "Hey, I don't want this." As a man in the flesh, He didn't want to go to the cross. He knew. He saw that. Everybody in that day saw what the Romans did. This flesh didn't want to go. He said, "But nevertheless, thy will be done." So the will of God was that Jesus die. This was His plan. This was His decree. This was no changing it. There was no changing it. And Jesus bowed and said, "Here's my request. But you do what you do, what is best to do, God." That's the sovereign will of God. Understand the very crucial point here, folks, that includes the sins of man. What Pilate and Herod did was sinful. God didn't want that, but it was His will. Herod and Pilate, the soldiers, the Jewish leaders, all of them, all sinned in fulfilling God's will that Jesus be crucified. In Isaiah 53, verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul and suffering for sin, He shall see His seed and shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand." Here's an example from 1 Peter 3:17. "Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong." In other words, it may be God's will that Christians suffer for doing good. Amen? He has in mind persecution. But persecution of Christians who do not deserve it, it is sin. God understands that, hey, you may have to suffer persecution. Now, somebody's sinning and doing that. So again, God sometimes, folks, wills that events come about that include sin. It is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will. Paul gives a summary statement of this truth when he talks in Ephesians 1, verse 11, says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." You see, the will of God is God's sovereign governance of all that comes to pass. And there are many other passages, folks, in the Bible that teaches that God's providence over the universe extends to the smallest details of nature and human decisions. In Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father." Proverbs 16:33, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Proverbs 16:1, "The preparations of the heart of in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Proverbs 21:1, "The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever He pleases." understand that, the king's heart. Who sets up kings and things? God does. So the man that's in the White House was set up by God. Come on. We better be careful what we're saying. That's the first thing, first meaning of the will of God. God determines these things. It is God's sovereign control of all things. We will call this his sovereign will or his will of decree. It cannot be broken. God's sovereign will, God's will of decree cannot be broken. It always comes to pass. In Daniel 4:35, all the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" So let's talk about God's will of command. Now, the other meaning of the will of God in the Bible is what we can call his will of command. His will is what he commands us to do. Right? We read of commands in the Word of God. God says you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, if you want to go to heaven. That's wills of command. Amen? Thou shalt not steal. Wills of command. His will is what he commands us to do. And this is the will of God. We can disobey and fail to do it. It's our choice. The will of decree, we do whether we believe it or not. The will of command, we can fail to do. So, when God decrees something, it's going to happen. We can't change it. But the will of command, we choose to do it or not. Amen? For example, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he," listen, God says, look, you can call me Lord and all this kind of stuff. That don't mean you're going to heaven. But here's how you can go to heaven. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." They're the ones that's going to make it. So not all do the will of the Father. He says so. Not everyone will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why did he say that? Because not all will do his will. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Now, Scripture tells don't do that, but people still do it. And they still claim to be a Christian. Right? Come on, folks, you're awful quiet here this morning. Wake up. Do we need to stand up and do jumping jacks? Here we have a very specific instance of what God commands us: holiness, sanctification, sexual purity. This is his will of command. But, so many do not obey. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything, give thanks." In everything. That means in the bad times. That means when you don't feel like it. That means in the good times. In everything, give thanks. Why? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." How often do we bellyache to God? How often do we get mad? We don't tell people we're mad at God, but we are. Come on. I've had people come talk to me in bad times, and I can tell they're mad at God. But he says, "I want you to give thanks." He's commanding us, give thanks in everything. See, there again, folks, this is a specific aspect of his will of command. Give thanks in all circumstances. But many do not do this will of God. So we have to immerse yourself, folks. We have to immerse ourselves in the written word of God. We have to saturate our mind with his will, with the word of God, so we know what his will is. Amen? When I think of these things, and I think along these, I think how Brother Finney talked about it. You know, everybody that ever received the Holy Ghost is going to be at that judgment. But that's where God's going to go down the list and say, did you give thanks in everything? Did you refrain from fornication? Was your body a living sacrifice? If you didn't get to hear that message, you need to go online. Brother Finney. Phenomenal. But folks, I'm telling you, it is important that we do these things. We have to understand, God, what does your word say that I must do? Saturate your mind with that so that you won't miss anything. Amen? Another example, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Not all abide forever. Come on. Some do, some don't. The difference, some do the will of God, others don't. The will of God, in this sense, does not always happen. And many other passages of the Bible that are two ways of talking about the will of God. Both are true. And both are important to understand, and both are important to believe. So, one, we can call God's will of decree, or his sovereign will, and the other we can call God's will of command. God's will of decree, folks, always comes to pass whether we believe it or not. It doesn't matter what we do. It always comes to pass. His will of command can be broken, and it is broken every day. So there, the preciousness of these truths. So before I relate this Romans 12:2, let me comment on how precious these two truths are. Both correspond to a deep need that we all have when we are deeply hurt or experience great loss. On the one hand, we need the assurance that God is in control and therefore is able to work all of my pain, all of my loss together for my good and the good of all who love him. On the other hand, we need to know that God emphasizes with us and does not delight in sin or pain in and of themselves. These two needs correspond to God's will of decree and his will of command. For example, if you were badly abused as a child and some asked you, do you think that is the will of God? You know you have a way to make some biblical sense out of this and give the answer that doesn't contradict what the Bible says. You may say, no, it was not God's will because he commands that humans not be abusive. He says he commands us that we should love each other. The abuse broke his commandment and therefore moved his heart with anger and with grief. You read about that in Mark 3:5. But in other sense, yes, it was God's will, his sovereign will, because there are hundreds of ways he could have stopped it. But for reasons I don't yet fully understand, he didn't stop. And corresponding to these two wills are two things you need in his in this situation. First is a God who is strong, a God who is sovereign enough to turn it for good, and the other is a God who is able to empathize with you. On the one hand, Christ is a sovereign king, and nothing happens apart from his will. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then second, Christ is a merciful high priest and sympathizes with our weakness and pain. In Hebrews 4:15, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, folks, the Holy Spirit conquers us and our sins when he wills. In Romans 9, 15 through 16, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And allows himself, God allows himself to be quenched and grieved and angered when he wills. Ephesians 4:30. And grieves not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. See, his sovereign will is invincible, and his will of command can be grievously broken. So when we need both these truths, both these understandings of the will of God, not only, folks, to make sense of the Bible, but to hold fast in God's suffering. Amen? Now, which of these is meant in Romans 12:2? Which will is it? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The answer that Paul is referring to is God's will of command. Now, I say this at least for two reasons. One is that God does not intend for us to know most of his sovereign will ahead of time. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret of things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. So if you want to know the future details of God's will or decree, you don't want to renew your mind, what you're looking for then is a crystal ball. Right? This is not called transformation in obedience. It is called divination in soothsaying. Some people are so looking into what God is going to do in the future. Okay, that's not renewing of your mind. You're looking for the spooky junk. The other reason I say that the will of God in Romans 12 is God's will of command and not his will of decree is that the phrase, by testing you may discern, it implies that he should approve of the will of God and then obey it and do it. Obediently do it. But in fact, folks, we should not approve of sin and or do it, even though it is a part of God's sovereign will. Paul, his meaning in Romans 12:2 is paraphrased almost exactly in Hebrews 5:14. It says, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. In Philippians 1:9-11, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. You see, the goal of this verse, not ferreting out of the secret will of God that he plans to do, but discerning the revealed will of God that we ought to do. See, we shouldn't be worried about what God is going to do. We should just be doing what he wants us to do right now. In the past, I've had people that were really involved in end time. And that's they were so consumed by it. And I said one time, I said, listen, that's all well and good to know that stuff. But you better have a relationship with God right now. You better be living for God at this time. Because they're no longer here with us. So if you're going to know it, you better be living it. Amen? So the goal of this verse is don't be looking in and so concerned about the secret things of God. Live what he tells you to do. But discerning the revealed will of God, we ought to do. So there's three stages. There's three stages of knowing and doing the revealed will of God. That is His will of command. And all of them require the renewed mind with its Holy Spirit giving us discernment. The first, God's will of command is revealed with final decisive authority only in the Bible. And we need the renewed mind, folks, to understand, to be able to embrace what God commands us in Scripture. So without the renewed mind, we will distort the Scriptures to avoid their radical commands for self-denial and love and purity and supreme sanctification in Christ alone. God's authoritative will of command is found only in the Bible. Only in the Bible. Paul says that the Scriptures are inspired and make the Christian competent, equipped for every good work. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to live for God? Get into the Word. Find out what His Word. Let it speak to you. Not just some good works, all good works. Amen? What energy and time and devotion Christ should spend meditating, Christians should spend meditating on the Word of God. The second stage of God's will of command is our application of the biblical truth. To new situations, they may or may not be explicitly addressed in the Bible. See, the Bible does not tell you which person to marry. You don't go to second whoever and you should marry Louise. You don't find it. Or it doesn't tell you that you should buy a Chevrolet. It doesn't tell you which home and which street to go by. You're not going to find that in the Bible. It doesn't tell you should work at a particular job, where you should take your vacation, or what cell phone you should buy. Or it doesn't tell you other many thousands of choices to make. So if you want to know the future details of God's will or God's decree, if you want to know the future details of God's decree, you don't want the renewed mind. Like I said, you want a crystal ball. So, folks, what is necessary is that we have a renewed mind. Why? That is shaped and so governed by the revealed will of God in the Bible that we see and we assess all relevant factors. How? With the mind of Christ. And we discern what God is calling us to do. You see, if you understand what I'm trying to say, if you're looking into, I want to do God's will. I want to serve God. I want to be pleasing to God. When you understand these things in the Word of God and you're doing them and you're living it, those other decisions that I talked about, the job and the spouse and the car, they will all line up with the Word of God. If anything out there, any choice that you're trying to make as far as a spouse, any choice that you're trying to make as a job, is it going to keep me from doing the things of God? That's how you make those decisions. I don't want a job that's going to keep me out of church. Come on. I don't want a spouse that's going to go against my desire to live for God. I was telling somebody the other day, before I met my wife, I was in this relationship with a young girl. At first, it was great, as all are. And then after a while, I was miserable. Nice girl. Great girl. But I wasn't happy. And I was this nice guy. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. So it went on for way longer than it should have because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. And I just broke it off. And I got on my knees and said, God, I want somebody that loves you as much as I do or more. And it wasn't long till I met my wife. I'm telling you, folks, you don't want to get into a relationship that's going to hinder you from doing God's will. You don't want a job that's going to hinder you from doing God's will. Well, how do I know these things? Well, God, for one, gives you leadership. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, the Bible says. For what? For the work of the ministry. Also, God has things in His Word. And if you line up with the will of God that He tells you in His Word, those things, you'll be able to make choices in those areas that will bless your life. This is very different from constantly, folks, trying to hear God's voice saying to do this and to do that. So many people are like, why don't God speak to me? Well, have you been in the Word? Well, yeah. Get in the Word. God will speak to you from His Word. People who try to lead their lives by hearing voices that are not in sync with Romans 12:2. There is a world, folks, of difference between praying and laboring for a renewed mind that discerns how to apply God's Word on the one hand, and the habit of asking God to give you a new revelation of what to do on the other hand. You ever heard the story about the man in the flood up on the roof asking God to deliver him? The helicopter comes by and they try to, oh no, God's going to take care of me. Boat comes by, oh no, God's going to take care of me. And then after he gets to heaven, God, why do you take care of me? I sent the helicopter. I sent the boat. You know, so often we're trying, oh God, speak to me. And you're hearing the Word of God coming across the pulpit. But yet, oh God, speak to me. Oh God, speak to me. As you're carrying your Bible around, never open it. Come on. Divination does not require transformation. God's aim is a new mind, folks. God wants you to think different. The only way you're going to do that is get into the Word and let that mind be renewed. It's a shame that we have people, folks, that have been going to church. I'm not going to say necessarily living for God, but going to church for years, maybe most of their life, and are always upset because somebody didn't say this. Who knocked this over? Was that me? Sister Crystal, we got to take care of this. But they get upset. Somebody said this wrong to them. Come on. You don't have a renewed mind if you're constantly allowing people to get you upset and offended. You don't have a renewed mind. We need to think in terms of, hey, I go to this church. It's a great church. These people are saved. They love me. They care about me. What gets me, it really gets me sometimes, is you're allowed to have a bad day. Nobody else is allowed to have a bad day. Maybe snap at you the wrong way. Where's your renewed mind? That was free. That's not in my notes. God's aim is for you to have a renewed mind. A new way of thinking and judging. Not just new information. Amen? His aim, God's aim is that we be transformed, sanctified, freed by the truth of His revealed Word. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth. And what? And the truth shall make you free. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to be set free? Know the truth. It'll make you free. And then that sanctified by the truth. So the second stage of God's will of command is the discerning application of the Scriptures to the new situation in life by means of your new way of thinking, your new renewed mind. The third stage, finally, the third stage of God's will of command is the vast majority of living where there is no conscious reflection before we act. Now, I venture to say that a good 95% of your behavior that you do is not premeditated. Right? This is most of your thoughts, most of your attitudes, most of your actions are spontaneous. Right? They are just spillover from what's inside of you. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34 through 36, O generation of vipers, how can ye be evil, being evil, speak good things? This is what he's saying. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, I didn't mean that. Oh, yes, you did. Well, come on. A good man, out of the good treasure of his of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. Sure, you didn't mean it. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We need to be careful. We need to renew this mind so we don't speak that evil stuff. Come on, you've been coming to church for years. You should be changing the way you think. You shouldn't be always offended and mouthing off and saying this about somebody, this about somebody. They don't like me. That's your evil speaking. Because if you understand the word of God, you'll have the mercy and grace that he does, and you'll love everybody. Come on. So, every idle word. Every idle word you're going to give an account for. Why do I call this part of God's will of command? For one reason. Because God commands things like, don't be angry. God commands things like, don't be prideful. God commands things like, don't covet. God commands things like, don't be anxious. God commands things like, don't be jealous. God commands things like, don't be angry. And folks, and none of those actions are premeditated. Anger, pride, covetousness, anxious, anxiety, jealousy, envy. They all just rise up out of the heart with no conscious reflection of intention. That's why we have to be renewed. If you're renewed, all those things that you had before you knew God, all that anger and all that pride and that covetousness and anxiety and jealousy and envy should be gone if you're renewed. Come on. Somebody saying something off the wall shouldn't bother you because, hey, I know that person. I love that person. And there must be something going on. They don't normally talk like that. They don't normally snap at me. I'm going to pray for them. If you're renewed, you think like that. Come on. And folks, we are guilty because of them. They break the commandments of God. God doesn't want us to do these things. He don't want us to have jealousy and envy and anger and all these things. We're breaking commandments when we allow these things to happen. We're guilty of them because they break the commandments of God. It is not plain to see, folks, that there is one great task of the Christian life. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need new hearts. We need new minds. And if you have that issue and you get mad easily and you allow these things to bother you and you have anxiety and all these things, you need to renew some things. Come on. Get a new heart. Get a new mind. God, renew me. I don't want to think the old way. I want to think the way you want me to think. I want to obey the commands that you say to do. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. How are you known? How do your neighbors know you? Are you an angry person? Do your neighbors know you as yelling and screaming at your family? How do your coworkers know you? Are you that good tree? Are you that old bad tree? How do they know you? How do your family members, your extended family, how do they know you? See, that's the great challenge, folks. That is what God calls you to do. You can't do it on your own. You need Christ. He died for your sins. And you need the Holy Ghost to lead you into Christ's exalting truth and to work in you truth, embracing humility. We have to give yourself to this, folks. It don't just happen. You have to give yourself to it. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to envy my brothers and sisters. I want to think differently. Christ isn't pleased with that old way of thinking. And you need the Holy Ghost to do it. Give yourself to it. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Saturate your mind with it. And pray that the Spirit of Christ would make you so new that the spillover would be good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Let those things spill over in your life. Things that are good. Things that God would accept. Things that God is pleased with. If you're saturating, if you're asking God to help you to get that renewed mind, these things will start spilling out of you. Not that old junk. Amen? Let's stand here today. All right. Amen. Thank you for being attentive today, being here. Folks, apply this to your life. Amen? Don't just listen to it. Apply this. I want to know the will of God. That's how you know the will of God. You say, God, renew my way of thinking. We should tell God, Lord, convict me when I start thinking the old way. Come on. We need God to check us. Sometimes maybe God has checked us and we've ignored it so long we've become seared to his will. We've become seared to his, hey, that's wrong. I don't want to hear about it. I'm justified in being mad at this brother. I'm justified in being mad at being this sister. I don't want to hear it. Don't try to convict me right now, God. I have a right to yell at him. I have a right to be mad at him. You do? Come on. How does God treat you? You see, God, I don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want to be jealous of people. I want to rejoice when you bless them, because when I rejoice when you bless them, they can rejoice when you bless me. Come on. Amen. God, we love you. We appreciate your word. And we thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. God, touch us here today. Help us to apply this to our lives, God. God, I pray that we all be in your perfect will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.